The word Selah is found 71 times in the book of Psalms. Do you know what it means? Well, on Through the Bible, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, shares his understanding of the word and how we as believers ought to react when we hear it. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and I'm excited to welcome you aboard the Bible bus as we set off for our adventure in Psalms 3 and 4. So grab your copy of God's Word and find your place, and let's share some letters from our fellow passengers. First, we've got a note. This is from a listener of our Romani language broadcast. I like your programs very much. From the moment the music starts at the beginning, my heart sings all the way through until the end of the teaching. I've learned through God's Word to be thankful when in need and thankful when I have plenty. It is nice to hear the Word of God explained in my language on the radio. Thank you. I pray that God will bless you all. Next, we got a listener from Albania. Thank you for your programs. I'm a regular listener, and I want to tell you that you have helped me to grow in the Lord. My pastor suggested I listen, and since that time, I've been studying with you regularly. Each book of the Bible is interesting. It has helped me also in my relationships with others. And then another listener in Albania wrote this. I am a regular listener. Each program is a tremendous blessing to me. I work at home as a tailor. A lot of my customers come to my home to drop off and pick up their clothes. Many of them stay a bit longer to listen to your programs. I always tell them how they can listen too. I often have people tell me their life is full of hope because they have heard the Bible teachings. The need for God is great. Thank you for the teachings and for everything that you do. And then here's one more letter from a listener in Albania. I've found your TTB program recently. I really like the speaker and his teaching. I am a new follower of Jesus Christ and a new listener of this program. I want to know more about God and to understand His Word. The teaching that I heard yesterday was from the book of Exodus. I liked it. Thank you so much. And then a barber in Romania recently sent us this note. I'm 25 years old and I have been saved since I was a kid. In my teens, I strayed a bit, but my mom introduced me to Through the Bible and insisted that I listen with her. I'm so grateful for her consistent discipline and love. These teachings have taught me more about the Bible and how to live my life. Thank you for these blessings. And then our last letter comes from a listener in Serbia. She writes, I was very sick and had surgery. During this time, I spent many hours reading the Bible and praying. Your programs helped me very much during that difficult period. I became very weak lying in my bed, but your explanations of God's Word gave me the strength to continue to fight to be well. May the Lord bless your work that touches the hearts of many listeners. Well, this week, our World Prayer Team is traveling on our knees through Central Europe. So if you'd like to join us as we praise God for His work in the lives of listeners like these, and then ask Him to reach millions of others, why don't you sign up today at ttb.org/pray. Now, as we open God's Word together, let's commit this time to Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for the joy that comes from studying Your Word, and help us to absorb everything that we hear so that we may meditate upon the depths of its riches. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, our study brings us to the third psalm. Last time we finished the second psalm, and we spent some time with Psalm 1 and 2. We saw the perfect man in Psalm 1. The rebellious man in Psalm 2, the rebellion of mankind against Almighty God, and how it will be ended by the coming of Christ to the earth. Now, we have from Psalm 2 all the way to the next messianic psalm, which is Psalm 8, we have a veritable stairway. And this is the section, as well as the rest of the Psalms, that reveal that there is a wonderful organization. That is, the most noticeable feature, I think, about the Psalm is their systematic arrangement. Now, you see that as you move through here. So Psalm 3 up through Psalm 8, we have sort of a bridge. I like to think of it as a stairway. We just keep going up to this next great messianic psalm, and that's the 8th psalm. Now, we saw in Psalm 2, prophetically, of course, the rejection of God's anointed, the Messiah. And we know something about that today, and after 1900 years, he's still rejected in the world. And in the 8th psalm, the next messianic psalm, we find the prophecy when he, who is the Son of Man, he's going to put all things under his feet. Now, these five psalms furnish the glue that hold these two psalms together. They come between. They describe primarily the godly remnant of Israel during the time of the absence of the Messiah from the earth, and especially during that end of the age, which we call the Great Tribulation Period. Well, we don't call it that. The Lord Jesus labeled it the Great Tribulation Period. And you have here the record of their trials, their sorrows, their persecutions, their problems, and their sins. It's all here. And we also see of the confidence in God and the promises of God and the prayers here for deliverance in the part of the godly remnant. And we are going to see here something of the historical background and the circumstances of these different psalms and why they were penned and who penned them. David, of course, wrote most of them. Now we also see here the trials and the sorrows of this godly remnant in Israel. Now, also, we find here that all the saints of God share in this world very much the same trials and sorrows. They're common to all of God's people, and it doesn't make any difference who they are, where they live, and what period of history they lived in. And the comfort that is given in these psalms is for all of God's children. So that, let me put it like this, that we have in these psalms, first of all, the personal experience of David. We'll see that in a moment in Psalm 3. Then that is the primary, of course, interpretation. Then there is the application, and I think a direct application, to the nation Israel and to the godly remnant in the Great Tribulation Period. But there is also the application to God's people anywhere, anytime in the history of the world. So that if we look at the Psalms from that viewpoint, actually it'll make it more meaningful to us. Now what we have here in Psalm 3 is this. It's called a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Now, that tells us about this psalm. This is the thinking of David. This is what went on in the heart of David when he had to flee from Jerusalem when Absalom, his son, had rebelled against him. It's a very real psalm, therefore, because it came out of the personal experience of this man. Now, we have here, therefore, that experience of David. You see, this man was, I think, in a real bad spot because he became an outcast and a fugitive from his own city, which is called the City of David, Jerusalem, and from his own people where he was king, because Absalom, his son, rebelled against him and was seeking his life. He intended to put him to death. And your heart can't help but go out to David. You remember when we went through that historical section, David fleeing, and there was the enemy actually cursing him on the sidelines, and David's mighty man and one of his captains, Joab, says, "Let me go over and run a spear through him." David said, "Oh, no." David knew there was coming to him that which Nathan the prophet had said would come to him from God because of his sin. You remember? David didn't get by with his sin at all. when Absalom raised his rebellious heart and that vicious hand against his father, why, your sympathy goes out to David. But you remember Nathan had said to him way back in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, verse 11, listen to this, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I'll raise up evil against thee out of thine own house." Why? Because David had sinned greatly. And now Absalom leads this rebellion. And this man, David, he's actually now hated without a cause. God had graciously forgiven him and restored him, but he has to reap his sin. And it's in Absalom's rebellion that he does it. And we find here his enemies had increased on all sides, for the hearts of the men of Israel went after Absalom. In fact, that's what the scripture says, that the hearts of Israel went after Absalom. He was an attractive young man. And of course, he was a good, clever politician, is able to promise the people a great many things. Actually, never was able to deliver, of course. Now, there were many that rose up against David. Shimei, you remember, was the one who reviled him and cursed him. Many ridiculed him. And he went out barefooted and weeping and in sackcloth and ashes. And he passed over Kidron. May I say, it just looked like there was no help for him at all anywhere. And he went out. Well, listen to David, will you, with that kind of a background. This is the psalm. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. He's speaking right out of his heart, friends, as he leaves Jerusalem. And he says, many are they who say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. God has forsaken him, but God hasn't. And thank God today, friends, when somebody says to me, I can't understand how God would put up with a man like David, I always feel like saying to a person like that, well, if God will put up with David, maybe he'll put up with you and he'll put up with me. Thank God he's this kind of a God, friends, that he puts up with folk like this and will forgive them when they come to him. But that didn't mean David didn't pay for his sin. He sure did. And so he says, many are they who say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Then we have this word Selah. Now, what does the word Selah mean? Well, there's been a great deal of discussion as just what Selah really means. It occurs about 71 times in the Psalms. I believe all the Psalms were set to music and to be played by an orchestra and is sung by a great choir. I think that Jerusalem became famous throughout the world. People came there to hear the music of singing these psalms. And I think this probably was a musical rest. And I think it was a pause, some kind of a pause, probably a musical pause. And I personally think for you and me, that is, if you're just a common sort of a layman that doesn't understand music, it means stop, look, and listen. That's what you used to have at railroad crossings. You remember the old cross that was there? Stop, look, and listen. I remember as a boy, when my dad would drive a buggy into Snyder, Texas, sitting in the buggy, we stopped at the railroad crossing. There wasn't but one, of course. And I don't think it was a train in 10 miles of the place, but we always stopped. Stop, look, and listen. And a great many folk today, when they come to the Word of God, ought to do a lot of stopping, looking, and listening. And that's what we have here. Now, listen to David. This probably ends the first stanza. And now he says, I lay down and slept, I awake, for the Lord sustained me. Morning psalm, as this has been called. And I'm glad the New Scofield Bible has put that at the top here of this psalm, a morning psalm. This is a good one to start the day with. In spite of all of the problem and trouble, David trusted the Lord. He could sleep at night. He wasn't able to get hold of an aspirin tablet or any of these other miracle drugs that can put you to sleep today. But he just trusted the Lord and pillowed his head on the promises of God. And he went to sleep. And he says, I awake, for the Lord sustained me. And he says, I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Why, though the whole world be against him, David said, I'm not going to be afraid. Someone said to Cromwell, he's considered, by the way, the bravest man that ever lived. They said, what is the explanation of your bravery? Well, he says, if there is any bravery in my conduct, it's because, he says, I fear God, therefore I have no man to fear. Martin Luther also took that position. And if there was more fear of God, there would be less of this licking the boots of men today. There's some men that are going around with their tongues black. They spend their time licking other men's shoes. You know why? Because there's no fear of God before their eyes. The thing that'll give you courage is to fear God, and then you'll have no other man to fear at all. And so this man said, David, there might be 10,000. I'm not afraid of them. Now listen to him, verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. And that's where it hurts, on the cheekbone. If you ever get hit there, it'll really knock you out. And so David knew about that. He says his enemies had been smitten on the cheekbone. He says, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Not able to bite him anymore. Now listen to him here. He says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And this is a great scripture. Actually, the word belonging is not here. Salvation unto the Lord. The Lord is the author of salvation. David never thought salvation is a coin you could put in your pocket and lose. He never thought it was something he'd have to work out. Salvation was the gift of God. Salvation's unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And then this wonderful word here of Selah. And you'll notice that in this psalm he said some wonderful things about God. Back in verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Did you notice that? And then the next thing, you're my glory. And then he says, you're the uplifter of my head. Now, as a shield, why, he covers those that are his own. We're told to take today the shield of faith as believers. And David knew something about what the shield would do, and he'd used it. And the glory, that's his belief in the presence of God. For the cloud of glory, you remember, was for Israel. It was a visible sign of the presence of God in his midst. Now, we walk today by faith, and the glory of God's with us, friend. He makes himself real to those that are his own today. And then he calls himself the uplifter of his head. And how could that be? Well, he'd promised to build David a house and give him a blessing and a glory and a kingdom. And he says, he's going to uplift my head. And today, my friend, we may be down, but he's going to lift us up. This is a marvelous psalm, is it not? Now, the next psalm, Psalm 4, is in this same line. Psalm 3 was the perfect man rejected. And I've labeled this psalm here, the conflict between the seed of the woman and the serpent. And that's what is going on in the world today. And this is called an evening psalm. We'll see why. And it divides itself something like this. You have a cry in the first three verses, then a correction in the next two verses. Then you have confidence in verses 6 and 7 and 8. This is the psalm. It's a brief one. And this psalm, it has a musical inscription. It says, to the chief musician on Neginath, a psalm of David. Now, what's a Neginath? Well, apparently, it must be some sort of a instrument, and it's the belief of a great many today that it is something like a stringed instrument. Actually, probably a stringed instrument solo. And he sings praises in the midst of the church, we're told. That's the way the writer to the Hebrews uses this psalm. And here, it's a great cry at the beginning. The great refuge for the people of God in time of trouble is always prayer. And God is their shield, as we've already seen. Listen to him. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. That is, distress means pressures, and the pressures of life are great. What do we need today? We need the encouragement that we find in the Word of God, and we have that assurance given us that the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth, that's Psalm 145:18. And then again, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. And that is a wonderful promise of God in Psalm 50:15. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I'll answer, and while they're yet speaking, I'll hear. It's what Isaiah said in the 65th chapter, verse 24. And then Psalm 18:6 is very personal. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And again, as for me, I'll call upon God, and Jehovah shall save me. That's Psalm 55:16. Psalm 86:7 says, in the day of trouble I'll call upon thee, for thou shalt answer me. And then again he says, he shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. That's Psalm 91:15. The Bible's just filled with these wonderful promises. And that's the cry here of the psalmist, that God be with him. Now he says here, O ye sons of man, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after falsehood? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him who is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. How wonderful it is. God will hear our prayer. Then we have the correction that's given here, and it's sort of a warning. He says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. The word is tremble and sin not. We need a little bit more trembling than we're getting today. And then he says here, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. How wonderful this is. Be angry and sin not is the way that Paul translated it when he quoted it in Ephesians. Now notice the confidence, the assurance here of faith. And he says here, there are many that say, who shall show us any good? A lot of people saying today, well, everything's gone to the bow wows. Nothing can turn out right today. Well, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. How we need that today. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their grain and their wine increased. David's heart, like the rest of us, it failed in time of trouble. And David here found out that God was good to him. And around them were these unbelievers among their own people mocking them. And they were the ones that said, God's not going to do anything. But God did do something for them. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their grain and their wine increased. And God today, and He alone can make good for us. Now it's an evening psalm. Listen to this. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. This, by the way, is a good sleeping pill at night. Have you ever tried Psalm 4? It's a little better than Somanex, by the way, and it's lots better than aspirin. Psalm 4. Oh, how wonderful these psalms are for us today and what they'll mean to God's people in that day of trouble. All right, we'll pick up right there at Psalm 5 next time.
Well, it's true. God's Word is the best prescription for our anxious and weary hearts and minds. If you know someone that needs to hear this message, why don't you direct them to our website, ttb.org? Or if you'd prefer to give them all of Dr. McGee's teaching from Genesis to Revelation, check out the resources section of ttb.org. And I'm speaking specifically of our Solar Bible Bus Player or our Bible Bus Flash Drive. Each of these resources has unique features that our listeners are really enthusiastic about. So if you have questions about which resources best fits your needs, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and we'll be happy to help you find the right Bible Bus resource for you. And when you contact us, don't forget to tell us how you hear through the Bible, either online or by app or on your favorite Christian radio station. However you're listening, we'd love to know. And tomorrow, our exciting journey through God's Word continues. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible Bus just for you.
Jesus made it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.